The pasuk in Mishlei tells us, "The ugel b'lev ish yashchema." One of the signs that the Rambam says for an ugel is being in a state of daiga, in a state of worry and concern. And the pasuk says that when a person has worries and troubles of the heart, yashchema. Pashup shat means you should suppress it. You should keep it to yourself. Chazal, in a very interesting gemara in the Sechas Yoma on Daf Ayin Hei, Chazal brings two opinions of how to understand the pasuk. Polar opposites. On the one hand, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Chad Amar, Yashchena Midaita. If you have troubles, if you're going through a difficult period, if a person is experiencing pain, so Yashchena, push it out of your mind. Remove it from your thoughts. V'chad Amar Yisichena La'acher. The other opinion is Yashchena should be understood as Yisichena, talk it out. Converse about it. Speak to someone about it. In Kohelis, in the third parak, Eis lachashos ve'eis ladaber. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. And I always wonder, Tisha B'Av morning, which one is this? Is this a time to be silent? Is this a time to speak? Is this a time for Yashchena to keep it to yourself? Is this a time Yisichena to talk it out? Psukim that we read last night in Megillas Eicha, Yeshu la'aretz yidmu, passing in the third parak, Yeshev badad yidom, the time seems to be very quiet, to not have so much to say. 1948, the Briskarov spent a Shabbos in Bnei Brak, and he came on a Shabbos afternoon to visit the Chazon Ish. And he walks in and he says to the Chazon Ish, Shabbos. The Chazon Ish says back to him, good Shabbos. And the two of them sit down. And each one, out of cover for the other one, is waiting for the other Adam Gadol to begin the conversation. They're nodding at each other. They're sitting there and it's quiet. 15 minutes go by. A half hour goes by. An hour goes by. I saw this story in the writings of Rishon Shvadran. He says they sat silently for 4 hours. 4 hours, two Gadolim, just looking at each other. Needless to say, there was not that neither of them had prepared a Dvar Torah on Shabbos. They had what to say. And they sat there quietly for 4 hours. And at the end of 4 hours, the Briskarov got up. And he said again to the Chazon Ish, Guten Shabbos. The Chazon Ish said, Guten Shabbos, Guten Shabbos. And Chazon Ish got up and he walked them out, escorted his distinguished guest out the door. Halach on Tisha B'Av doesn't even allow us to say Guten Shabbos or Guten Vach to one another. And unlike those Gedolim who had a lot to say and kept quiet out of respect for each other, we're not sure what we're supposed to be doing. We don't know what to say. We don't know what not to say. We don't know if we should say. Chodesh Av in the Sefer Yetzirah, every month has an action. The action for this month is listening, not talking. Shmia. And yet, I think if we look what's happening in the world today, people are talking on Tisha B'Av. People are trying to find ways to say maybe less kinos than maybe was traditional in the past, and to be mekayim halach at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, which is better to say less with kavana than to say a lot without kavana. And it's a strange thing that we're trying to find the right words. The first kina that we recite this morning begins with the word shavas. It's based on the pasuk in the fifth parak of Eicha we said last night. Shavas misos libenu. Shavas misos libeinu. The joy of our heart is gone. Shavas, it's silent, it's quiet, there's nothing to say. Artsville translates, everything came to a standstill. There's a pause, there's a break. We don't need to talk so much, we need to think, we need to listen, we need to hear. There's a heaviness, shavas, just everything stops. But again, the minute is to talk. And we need to understand why that reality has become our reality on Tisha B'Av. Bali Musar explained, Hamanti ki adaber. Hamanti ki adaber means that sometimes if I don't know what I believe and I don't know what to feel, so if I try to talk about the right things, if I get involved, if I use the koach hadibur, which is life itself, then all of a sudden that thing which I didn't know how to relate to all of a sudden becomes real. When a person talks about tragic things, as opposed to ignoring it, it becomes real. When a person engages difficult things, it becomes more real. It becomes a part of one's life. He'emanti ki adaber. The Baal HaMusar say when a person speaks in Yanei Amunah, he'emanti ki adaber. When I talk about Amunah, I come to believe things. And the same thing I think is true today. I think the reason that we're trying to speak is because we're so far from it that if we don't talk about it, we don't even know what's happening. And we hope, as almost a tefillah, he'emanti ki adaber. That Chorash Dalet Beis Reish also means to guide, to lead. Yad Re'am Tachteinu, like Rav Melech says in Tehillim Mem Zayin. To be guided by our words. We don't know exactly what we're trying to say. And we're not even sure if we should be saying. But there's a feeling that I have to try to have a conversation today. I need to talk, I need to listen, I need to think. I need to somehow figure out this balance of Eis Lachshos Ve'Eis L'Daber, when to be silent, when to speak. Yashchena, Yisichena, to suppress my feelings, to talk out my feelings. It's a quiet day. It's a lonely day. It's a day where we're trying to say something. We're watching videos. We're listening to Shira. We're hearing commentary on the kinos. But we have to speak, and it's an achrayis to speak, and it's an achrayis to listen. Reb Lazer David was a grandson of Reb David Lalover. David Lalover was a Talmud of the Chosid of Lublin, a Chosid of the Chosid of Lublin. And his grandson, Reb Lazer David, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, would go to the Kotel every single day of the calendar year. That was very much a part of his avodah, except for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, he wouldn't go to the Kotel. By some Jews, lahafich, some Jews dafka feel so drawn to the Kotel, they want to be by the Kotel Ma'aravi on Tisha B'Av. So some of his own talmidim asked, they said, Rebbe, you know, you go all year. Tisha B'Av, you don't go to the Kotel. You don't draw close to the Makom HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. So he told them, he says, every morning I go to the Kotel and I say, good morning to the Kaisel. And the Kotel says back to me, good morning. And when I go on Shabbos or I go on Yom Tov, I say, good Shabbos. And the Kotel, so to speak, speaks back to me. The Kotel says back to me, Shabbos, good Yom Tov. He says, if I went to the Kotel on Tisha B'Av, and I told the Kotel, I had to have a conversation with that wall and tell those walls, to tell that makom what I was really feeling on Tisha B'Av. And if I had to listen to what the Kotel said back to me, he says, I pasha wouldn't be able to live. I wouldn't be able to hear what the Kotel says back to me. Reb Lazer David didn't explain what he was going to say to the Kotel. He didn't explain what the Kotel was going to say back to him. But part of our avodah today is to ask ourselves, what would we say to the Kotel? Close our eyes for a second. Imagine we're standing a couple of feet, relatively speaking, from the Kodesh Kadashim, an opportunity to have a conversation. What would we say? What was he so scared to hear back from the wall? You know, we do that sometimes. Instead of being more straight and more honest, we put it onto something else. Then we talk about, like, the Torah says this. You notice that? We don't usually say Hashem says. If you look in the Rambam in the Parasha Mishnah, the Rambam often quotes a pasuk and say, Hashem, Amar Hashem Yisbarach. It's a little more real when Hashem says it to you, as opposed to just a book on the shelf. So, in quotes, what does the Kotel, so to speak, say to us? What does Hashem say to us today? What was he so scared to hear back from the wall? What was he going to say to the wall? What was he scared to hear back from the wall? And I think to say it very honestly and very simply, the Gemara Pesachim tells us on Kuf Yud Gimel, Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Sona. There are three people who Kadosh Baruch Hu despises. I can't even use the word hate, it's too strong. There's three people who Kadosh Baruch Hu is really, really unhappy with. And the very first one on that list, Hamidaber Echad Bapeh VeEchad Belev. The person who says things doesn't really mean the types of things that he says. So if we were to come to the Kotel today, of all days, we'd say, Kotel, Beis HaMikdash, Shechina, whatever we would refer to it, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we miss you so much. And we're so sad to see you in this fallen state. And we're thankful that we have a remnant. A little sheiris called the Kotel to give us a place of connection, a trace of what once was. But Hashem, we really want something more, we want something different. And Rav Leizer David was scared that the Kotel was going to say back to us, are you being serious? Are you being honest? Is that true? Spoke about this a little bit last night. Do we really want it? Is that true? Is it Echad B'Pev, Echad B'Lev? Are we saying the right thing because it's Tisha B'Av and it's the right thing to say? Or is it something that we actually feel? Chazal tells us in the Medrash that Mashiach is born today. Do we believe that? Do we know what that means? Do we think about that? Do we have an understanding of what that is? Moshe Weinberger from Eish Kodesh shared, he said someone a couple of weeks ago came over to him and said, Rabbi, I'll be honest, I look forward to Tisha B'Av every year. Mr. Weinberger said, look forward to Tisha B'Av. It's a strange thing, a little bit of a strange thing for a person to say. But Weinberger said, I also look forward to the Moed that will be in the future. I understand, Paralai Moed, we don't say Tachlin today. But a Jew doesn't look forward to Tisha B'Av. And he said something, and Weinberger said that after he explained himself, it really did resonate with him. He said, Rabbi, you know, Tisha B'Av, I look forward to Tisha B'Av because I feel like it's one of the only days of the year where we're actually honest. It's an honest day, and I look forward to that. He says, all year round, in my professional relationships, he says, I'm an honest businessman, but everyone's playing a part, we're running about, we're doing our thing. He says, I look forward to Tisha B'Av, where we can talk straight, we can be honest, we can ask ourselves real questions. We can make an honest cheshbon nefesh. We can be straight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can be straight with ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves today. Are we prepared to have that kotel, or that conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the kotel? Or is it Echad B'Pev, Echad B'Lev, which is one of the three people that Chazal painfully say HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises such a person? It's not true. It's not honest. Don't tell me you want the Geula if you don't want the Geula. People already have their post-Tisha B'Av vacations planned, booked and planned, and not all the destinations are Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. Let's be honest about that for a second. There were tzaddikim who lived it. There were tzaddikim who understood every day of their life they were really waiting. They were really animam b'amuna shleim. When they said those words, it meant something to them. It really, really meant animam b'amuna shleim v'avias hamashiach. They meant it. They said it. Rebelsky Zatzal, I saw in the biography that Archo put out not that long ago, Rebelsky was a Levi, and Rebelsky kept his harmonica close by his side. A musical person. Mamishal is dying days. Imagine Adam Gungleby is still walking around with a harmonica in his pocket. And Rebelsky said, I walk around with my harmonica, I keep my harmonica close to my side, so that when Mashiach comes, I'll be ready to go. He played violin as well, I think. He said, I'm a Levi, I want to sing, I'm ready to go. This is not a joke. What if Mashiach comes and I don't have my musical instrument by my side? Okay, it's hard to walk around with a harp all day. He took a harmonica by his side. He took a smaller instrument. But it was Metzias. Mashiach was Metzias to him. He walked with it. He lived with it. Animam b'muna shleima. Read how the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law on the opening page of the Likutei Halachos, which is Chafetz Chaim's collection of Piskei Halacha on the Masechtos of Kodshim. Read how he describes what Mashiach was for the Chafetz Chaim. It was a tangible reality every day of his life. It wasn't some far-fetched dream. It was something that he lived with. It wasn't Echad B'Pev, Echad B'Lev. And today is the day where we try to be honest. For a moment of the course of the day, to say, yes, after everything that we've gone through over the course of this day, Animam Ebunu Shleim B'Vias Mashiach. I may not feel that same way tomorrow when I wake up. But for a moment, to be able to be honest with Kutcher Rechu, to be honest with the Shechina, to feel the pain of the Shechina in Galus. And to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, we're coming to collect that which is ours. We're coming to collect the Geula. Chafetz Chaim himself used to give a mashal. He said, imagine, a poor person meets a big gvir, a wealthy businessman in the street. And he says to this fellow, he says, you know, I really need your help. I know you give a lot of tzedakah. I really, really need your help. So the gvir says, I'd be happy to help you. Come to my place of business, and I'll give you a check. I'll write you a check there. That's where I give tzedakah. I don't have anything on me to give you that's sufficient. Come to my office, 2:00 this afternoon, I'm happy to write you a large check. And Phil says, thank you. The Gvir goes off to work later that afternoon, he's waiting, he figures this guy will be the first one there that afternoon. Doesn't show up. Next day, the Gvir is walking in the street, and again, this poor person comes running over to him, And he says, please, please, I'm begging you. I told you yesterday, I really need your help. I mamish need your help. So the Gvir says, I was waiting for you. Come to my office anytime this afternoon. I'm happy to write you a check. Just come pick up the check. I'm happy. I'm more than happy to help you. And the Gvir and the poor fellow part ways. And the afternoon comes and he doesn't show up again. A third day, he's walking down the street in the morning on his way to shul, on his way back from shul. All of a sudden he's stopped by this fellow again and he's crying. The fellow's crying, please, I'm begging you, I mamish, I need your help. I'm so broken. I'm so desperate. I mamish need your help. And he says to him, the Gvir says to him, you're out of your mind. I don't know, what do you want from me? Come collect the check. What do you want? Come pick it up. You say that you need my help, and I'm happy to help you, but you're not coming to collect. Chafetz Chaim uses this as a mashal. We daven every morning. You just look at the lashonos that we use in Birchas Kriya Shema. We should be embarrassed. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmona Esrei, Birchas Kriya Shema Hashem. We want to live a life of Torah. Help us to... So Hashem says, great, so come to the Beis Medrash once in a while. How do you expect to get the Torah if you don't open up the Svar? Yes, for Yirah Shemai, but then you do things which are contradictions. So how are you gonna collect if you're not showing up? You're begging, you're asking, and Hashem says, I'm happy to help you, but it's Echa B'Pev, Echa B'Lev. Ani Imam B'Muna Shlema, is it B'Muna Shlema? Do we feel comfortable saying those words? A couple minutes ago, we were just saying Brich Shemai. There were tzaddikim who were scared to say Brich Shemai. They were scared to say Ana Avda D'Kut Shavricham. I'm scared to say that I'm an Eved Hashem. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, is called an Eved Hashem. Am I an Eved Hashem? The Bial Rebbe used to say, on a Be'ino L'Mehevei, on a Be'ino L'Mehevei, in Aramaic, I want to be Avda D'Kut Shebrichu. Halavai, I should want to be an Eved Hashem. But to say that I'm an Eved Hashem, when I still have all my backup plans, and I'm not fully invested, when I'm willing to settle today with a partial Geula, with a Shabbos Nachamu, to wipe away some tears, shake off some of the dust of the last couple of days. That's not animam b'munah shleim. To settle on galus as long as Hashem, as long as it doesn't get worse, we can, you know, we'll rough it out a little bit longer. There's a Bamber chassid who went through the war. He was in Auschwitz. Rabbi Yeshua Voth. And his chassid said that he survived Auschwitz with the belief that Mashiach was going to be the one to take him out of Auschwitz. And he made it through the war, that belief that Mashiach's going to be, it has to be, there's no way this war could end with anyone other than Mashiach walking through those gates and taking us out of this hell. And he said, you know when he broke down, you know when he lost it, you know when he collapsed and fainted on a day that was so joyous for so many others, the day that the Americans marched in and set those people free, whatever shreds of life was left in those few survivors. He said when he saw the American army, when he saw the Allied forces coming to his rescue, he collapsed, he fainted. He couldn't take it anymore. He said, I went through Auschwitz for 5 years to be greeted by American soldiers. He went through all of this for what? To be greeted by American soldiers? He wasn't an ingrate, he wasn't a person who wasn't grateful. But he wasn't willing to settle that all of this pain should be compromised at the end. You know, for a bagel and a glass of orange juice tonight. He said, I want the real thing. There's no backup plan. Mashiach has to walk through these gates and take me out of here. When a person lives with that reality, when a person can say, Ani Imam B'Muna Shleim, that's the only way Tisha B'Av is going to end this year. It's not about taking a hot shower or getting back to music or a nice steak and a glass of wine, but to be able to say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, there's no backup plan. I'm not compromising. I'm coming to collect the check. I know it's in the bank account already. I just need to come and collect. Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes in Sitka Tzadok in several pieces. He says, when we daven so often, we daven with a backup plan. Rabbeinu Sholom, I really need refuah, but I also have a good medical team. And you should. Halacha says you need to have a good medical team. Rabbeinu Sholom, I really need parnasa, but I also have a pretty decent resume. Rabbeinu Sholom, I need geula, but I have survival techniques to make it through galus. And Rav Tzadok says we undermine our own tefillos when we daven that way. When even a little bit of a backup plan in the back of our mind, that if this doesn't work out, so here's plan B and C and D and E. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, says back to us, you know what, I don't want to interfere with your plans. You have so many plans, I don't want to interfere. You know, it's okay, you don't need me. I see that you have all sorts of other plans to get you through, so it's okay. So you don't need my refuah, you don't need my Yeshua, you don't need my parnasa. You go to your boss, and you go to your doctor, and go to whatever quick fix gets you through another couple hours of galus. And we undermine our own tefillos that way. We undermine our own kinos if we're not fully invested right now. Whether we say a lot or a little, but it has to be the kavanah shleima to whatever degree we can, to go all in. They tell a story, they say it was a terrible drought. And the elders, the chachamim, that particular place, gathered together, they decided to call a day of fasting and davening. And they went out to the fields where the animals were thirsty, and the plants were scorched. And the Ramam is desperate for rain, and they go outside and they're davening and they're crying and they're fasting. And this one of the elders, one of the tzaddikim, took along his little son. And his father and son are standing there and they're davening and they're fasting and they're crying. And the boy turns to his father at one point and he says, "Dad, Abba, Tati, do people really think it's going to rain? The people who are standing here davening and crying and fasting and trying to do something, do people really believe that it's going to rain?" To which the father, of course, replied, "Of course. Look how everyone's davening. Look how everyone's fasting. Look how people are trying to shake the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent rain down. Look how thirsty the animals are. Look how low our water supply is. Look how dry the plants are. We can't survive. Of course people believe it's going to rain." So the little kid, as children often more honest than adults are, the kid turns to his father and he says, "So why didn't anyone bring an umbrella? If everyone's so sure that these tefillos are going to work, so why didn't anyone bring an umbrella? If we're so sure Mashiach's going to come, so why didn't we bring our suitcase with us this morning?" When we hear that story, the Chafetz Chaim had his little suitcase packed under his bed. Okay, whether you have a suitcase or not, but to what degree do we believe this is a mitzvah? To what degree are we ready to make this happen? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Shabbos this year to lead into Tisha B'Av. The Halacha says that during the 9 days, a person has to be Mamasa Umata. Which Halacha says, specifically, Masa Umata and Shal Simcha, that's what most of the poskim say. There were poskim who took it much more literally, that a person shouldn't go to work for 9 days. A person shouldn't do any business dealings during these days. Rav Moshe Wilson explains in the Sefer Emunah Sitech on the Mo'avdim, he says it's based on a Gemara, perhaps, in the Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes, where the Gemara says that as Mashiach gets closer, the real estate market is going to collapse. No one's going to want to buy anything. You know why? Because what do I need a big house in Bergenfield for? What do I need real estate in New York City for? It's not going to be worth anything. And therefore, says Rav Wolfson, this practice of being mamai, mamasu, matan, not worrying about unfinished deals, so to speak, at my office, is a way of saying, none of this really matters anymore. We're ready to go. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us an opportunity to practice that this year, because we all took off a day from work, Shabbos, no one worked, as a chama from Mashiach, and today is Sunday, most people, Baruch Hashem, have some more time on Sunday. And that's a chance for us to invest more fully. To invest more fully in the possibility of going straight from here to Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. An imamin be'emunah shleima. What does it mean to have emunah shleima? To be fully, fully invested in something. We know about Noach, he's described by Rashi as mamin ve'ino mamin. There's a metzias called mamin ve'ino mamin. Where you believe, but you don't really believe. You almost believe, you sort of believe, you want to believe, you're trying to believe, but you're not ready to get fully invested. The way that a child says, "Where's the umbrella?" If everyone's davening for rain, so where's the umbrella? Maybe I'm a bad father, but I said to our son, we were in the car on the way home from carpool the other day, Yaakov's 3.5 years old, and he said, "Daddy, can you put on Uncle Maishi?" Which is on constant play in the car. So I said, "No, Yaakov, we're not going to listen to Uncle Maishi today." I mean, what normal person talks to a 3.5-year-old like this? But I said, "No, we're not going to listen to Uncle Maishi today because we don't have a base of Mikdash." So he was macabre that I was surprised, whatever that meant. You know, he didn't say, like, "Just put on Uncle Maishi, what are you talking about, put on Uncle Maishi." 3.5 years old. What are you trying to say, Daddy? But I said, no, we're not going to put on Kamaishi today because the Jewish people, Hashem doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash. Yesterday we were learning Mishnayos Midos. I was looking at a picture of Mishnayos, Maseches Midos, beautiful pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. And I was showing Yaakov, I was showing our kids pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yaakov says to me, is it here yet? The Beis HaMikdash here yet? You remember the conversation we had in the car a couple of days ago. I said, no, but it's going to be here soon, very soon. Mir Tashem, very soon. It's going to be here very soon. Hashem's going to build this beautiful house, this Beis HaMikdash, very, very soon. So he says, yay, then we can listen to Uncle Maishi. Get back to Uncle Maishi. Maybe Karbanos. Maybe feeling a little Shechina in our life. But for a child, it's a tangible reality. Things change. Yeah, the Beis HaMikdash comes, things change. Shlomo Karbach told a story. He said when he was a kid, he remembers seeing his parents fast as a child on Tisha B'Av. And he said to his parents, why aren't you eating today? They said, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. He said he went to sleep that night, and he saw the next morning, after Tisha B'Av, his parents were eating again. So he said he came into the kitchen, he started singing and dancing. He said, if Ima and Abba are eating, it must be there's a Beis HaMikdash again. Why else could they be eating? Which his father then had to explain a little bit more, no, we're not quite there yet. And he couldn't understand, but you told me we don't eat. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, we don't eat. A Jew doesn't eat if there's no Beis HaMikdash. And his father, with tears in his eyes, said, when I was a kid, a similar thing happened with me and my family. I couldn't understand why my parents stopped eating. And they explained it was because of the Beis HaMikdash, you could never understand how they started eating again afterwards. Children get it. Children are able to say with the simplicity, Ani Mam V'Muna Shreva. And our avoda today is to try, as we begin to recite the Kinos, again, striking that balance between talking and listening, saying and not knowing what to say. Snaring me off our kumi, trying to pick ourselves up before we know it'll be chatzos, and things will start to change. But to try for a moment over the course of the morning to say, Ani mamin be'emuna shleimu b'vias ha-mashiach, and to mean it. To really mean it, that it shouldn't be echa b'peh ve'echa b'lev. I'll end with one final story. B'chanan Wasserman was once sitting with a couple of his talmidim, and a woman walks into the room, a person who is very clearly not all there, mentally all there, not a well woman. And she's crying, and she says, Rabbi, give me a bracha, I have a child who's sick, give me a bracha. She says to Vachanan, I need a bracha, I have a child who's sick, give me a bracha. So Vachanan in his humility says, who am I to give a bracha? I don't have the koach of bracha. I don't know how to help you. He says, go to tzaddikim, go daven, I'm not sure what to tell you. And the woman, not all there, she says to Rav Chanan, it's so unfair, no one understands my pain. She says, if I could only go to the cemetery and daven at the kvarim of my parents. But she says, Nebuch, my parents are still alive. Nebuch, my parents are still alive. I have nowhere to daven, I have nowhere to go. Rav Chanan is beyond words. The two talmidim start to snicker. An absurd thing to say, Nebuch, my parents are still alive. Nebuch, I don't have kvarim to daven, there's nowhere else to daven. And she's crying, and Chana sees what a sick woman this is. The deranged person this is. So he says, okay, lady, I'll give you a bracha. And he gives her a long bracha, your child's going to be okay, he's going to have a refuah, things are going to work out, it's going to be fine, everything's going to be okay. And the lady thanks Rav Chanan, and she walks out. And Rav Chanan looks at his talmidim, and he says, it's so beyond me how you can laugh at a woman like that. Nebuch, the poor woman doesn't even know what she's saying. How do you laugh in her face? She's going through a tough time, she has no idea what she's trying to say even. How do you laugh at her? Okay, it's ridiculous, of course it was ridiculous what she said. An absurd thing to say. But how did B'nai Yeshiva snicker in the face of a woman who's suffering like that? So I'll turn that into a tefillah for us. We're all a little bit shtickle crazy like that woman. We don't know what to say, what not to say. We don't know what to daven, what not to daven. But we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we say words that we hope are true, Ani Mam B'Muna Shleim B'Vias HaMashiach, we hope those words are true. We say, Hashem, please don't laugh in our face. We're going through a tough time. We're a little bit lost. I'm not exactly sure what to do at this point. And the Sivas Shalom used to have his fundraising meetings with his hanhala for the Slonimer Yeshiva. He said he used to end every meeting by saying, okay, Lameisa, we don't see any hope, we're not sure exactly how the Yeshiva is going to survive, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu helps people who are hopeless. That's our tefillah this morning. Shavas. Shavas, we pause as we begin the first word of the kina. And we say, Hashem, we're not even sure where to begin, we're not sure what to say, well, not to say which kinos to skip, which kinos to say. But we're going to try for a moment, Ani Mamun B'muna Shalim B'Vias HaMashiach. As some tzaddikim have pointed out, B'Vias HaMashiach is the Gematria Tafshin Ayin Ches this year. So halavai, halavai, our words should ring true in our own ears. Our words should be Echa B'Peh and B'Lev, it should be one and the same, not one or the other. And then Nirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't laugh in our face. Snari Me'afer Kumi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick us up off the ground. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekabel our tefilos, our tears, our words, will be zochah Mirtz Hashem to return to the Kotel, where we can face the Kotel, to look Kutcher Brichu in the eyes, so to speak. Zechazena Einenu B'Shulcha L'Tzion Barach. Shabbas. Shabbas.